was good. You guys sounded, I could hear you on that song. That was one of our youth group praise team's favorite songs, Shout to the Lord. The kids loved playing that on the guitar and the drums, and they did an awesome job with it. But great, great truths in it, and we're thankful for it. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Daniel, if you would, and we're going to go through a number of verses. I'm just going to have you, some of the verses will be on the screen, but I don't have them all up here, I don't think. I was going to, but I don't think I put them all quite up. But I just want to mention, I'm going to ask you again. I asked last year for some suggestions on future sermon topics. And this is the only one that I got. And I'm sure the person who suggested we do lessons we looked at in Sunday school probably didn't expect it to go for over a year. We've still got some more that we want to look at. So I'm not exactly sure. Sometime this summer we'll finish this up. I plan to when we get back from vacation. But I want to ask you to give me some suggestions on future sermon subjects or future sermon topics. I have several that I'm looking at and considering. One is believing the unbelievable. And I just thought about that recently, just as we pray for the persecuted church, and we hear testimonies of people and what God's doing in these nations, and sometimes we just would hear the attitudes and the hearts of these people who are suffering, how they still have a passion for the Lord, and some of the miraculous things that they see that we probably don't understand and perhaps not even want to believe. And I've experienced a number of things that if I just told you them, I wouldn't expect you just to believe them without hearing the background. I mean, confrontations with Satan worshipers and the leader of the Satanic Church in Reading, and things that we have seen, how God's just answered prayer. And perhaps a lot of you could share this, but a young man who came to know Christ that I had written off long before, just didn't think it would be possible for him to come to Christ, and how God worked in his heart. So different things like that. I'm not sure how long of a series that would be, but just getting some testimonies and some things that we find hard to believe, but how God's working throughout the world. So that's one. I'm also thinking about one, thinking about the church in the world and the church versus the world. So those are just a couple. I have some more things written upstairs, written down, but I want your suggestions. So help me out if you could just think of some things that you'd like to study. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you give us reason to shout our praise. We want to forever sing your praises. We know we will in eternity, but Lord, we want to be doing it while we're here. Help us just to love you, to realize that first song that we listened to of just empty, that should cause us to shout. The tomb is empty. When they opened the grave, there was nothing there. Lord, that should cause us to praise. And then, Lord, we, as I just said, the things that we find unbelievable that go on in the world, the testimonies we hear, even just this week of children putting their trust in Christ, that's miraculous. And we sometimes just kind of blow that off and don't think about it. But, Lord, anytime you save a person, you bring them to yourself, that's a miracle. And, Lord, help us to rejoice in that. Help us not just to celebrate with a rose up here, but, Lord, to be praising you and thanking you for what you're doing. We commit this time to you, Lord, and ask that you be glorified as we look at Daniel. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at Ezekiel, and I asked if anybody had ever heard a lesson or a message on Ezekiel, and not many people have. She came up and told me, what was the song, the Wheel Within a Wheel? Ezekiel Saw the Wheel, that's right. There was a song that was out for that, and she said she heard a song, but not many of us had heard a message on Ezekiel or heard a pastor speak on it. I never had, but I know the book of Daniel. So each of you could probably come up and tell a story, maybe even preach a whole message on what you know from at least a particular story, whether it's Daniel in the lion's den or the fiery furnace or the handwriting on the wall or some of the prophecies in Daniel. You could probably come up and teach a little bit. But we're going to look next week at some of the prophecies of Daniel. And I'm not sure if we're going to look at in August. We're going to do a song service the last Sunday of July. We're going to be gone 6th and 13th. So I know we'll do a song service then. I'm not sure if we'll come back to Daniel in August or not. just to look at some of the stories which we do know from Sunday school. But we're going to look at a couple of the prophecies next week. And prophecies in the Bible are divided into two different categories, fulfilled prophecy and unfulfilled prophecy. And many of Daniel's, if you were to read through the book, you're going to see, not all of them, but many of his prophecies that he talks about are already fulfilled. And we studied the book of Revelation in our Thursday Bible study and just finished that up probably end of last year sometime. We studied Revelation for a couple of years, actually. And we talked about doing Daniel kind of as a follow-up to Revelation and decided, since Daniel's covered so much in Revelation, we decided to study the book of Isaiah. But Isaiah, or the topic of Christ, which we sang about the empty tomb, that's why I asked you to think Daniel had no understanding of the tomb, had no understanding of who Christ was going to be. Christ was the main focus of prophecy, but he wasn't sure all that was going to happen. Certainly the church, and we've talked about this in all of prophecy, the church age in which we're living in right now was not known. That was not revealed to any of the prophets. That, and when I explained this probably 10, 12 years ago, when we first looked at prophecy, I had the prophets over on a mountain, and it was a video, a picture, not from me, but a picture that someone had drawn, and all the Old Testament prophets were standing on this mountain looking out, and then we saw the millennium and the future end times were on the next mountain. So they were looking from one mountaintop to the next, and they were seeing the end times in their visions, but they had no idea of the valley of the church age. So understand, Daniel's not going to mention the church age either. But we do know a little bit about Daniel. He was a captive, taken captive, Jewish captive, taken into Babylon. He began his ministry, and I put this all in your notes there, in the third year of Jehoiakim. That was around 606 BC, and he ended at the final king of Cyrus, who was born or ruled in 536 BC. So Daniel started the prophecy, as we're going to be looking at chapter 1 here a little bit. He started his prophecy as a teenager, and you go through the end of the book, and he's well into his 80s. So a lot of time goes through in these chapters of the book of Daniel. So so chapter 1, he starts off as a teenager. Chapter 12, he's an old man by then. So we're going to do an overview of the book, and I just have five things as we look at the man, Daniel, the man who he was. And as I've said, you're probably tired of me hearing me say this. Every time we come to a new study, I say, he's one of my favorite characters. Daniel is, again, one of my favorite characters. And probably more so is I'm always convicted as I look at this guy and think, I don't know if I could have done that. Being in the situations that he was finding himself, what a man of God he is. And I wish I could base my life not only on Christ, but if I was going to pick a biblical man, Daniel would be the man that I would love to have people say, he's a Daniel. And I remember the old song. That's a song that you may remember, Dare to Be a Daniel, Dare to Stand Alone. That's an old children's song, but it's so true. And as we look at Daniel, just begin to understand that he was human. He's one of the very few characters in the Bible that we aren't told any sin about. Not that he was not a sinner, but nothing's revealed about his sin background or anything that he struggled with. Sure, he did. Sure, he struggled with temptation. Sure, he struggled with all the things that we do, but we're not told that he gave into it. Daniel wrote it. If I were to write my own book, I would try to leave out all the sin. But there's so many that I would have to mention at some point. So understand that Daniel is just a very, very good man. And the first thing we're going to see was a man of principle. So you can mark that down in your notes. You're going to be filling in the P's, okay? As you read through the book, you'll see that Daniel is finding himself in situation after situation where it was going to take spiritual fortitude and courage to stand for Christ, or to stand for God, Jehovah. But we see him doing it. He chose to honor Jehovah, to honor the Lord in everything he did. And as I said, the situations we're going to find him in took a lot of courage. If you look at chapter 1, verse 8, and I do have this up on your notes, but you can write in whatever the I have the passages there, 1:8 and then 6:10. So you can write in there something that sticks out with you. But look at verse 1. Daniel, now he's just a young teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old, they believe. Daniel resolved in verse 8 that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. That's the theme that sets Daniel through the whole book. He has resolved. He's committed. He said, these are my principles, and I'm not going to back down on them no matter what the situation. He's resolved that he's not going to let the Lord down. And as you read through chapter 1, you know the story. The king wanted to try to fatten these guys up and make them really good fit for Babylonian service. And Daniel and his three friends said, we can't eat the wine, the king's food. We're not going to drink the wine. We're not going to eat the stuff that could be offered as sacrifices. We're just not going to do it. And the one who was over charge of them said, you're going to get me killed. Remember the story? You're going to get me killed. If I go back and you guys are falling apart, skinny and sick, it's my head. And Daniel says, we're just going to eat vegetables and drink water. My wife could survive on that. I could not. Last week, my mother-in-law took us to Texas Roadhouse, and we went down, and I had steak and ribs, and I ordered broccoli. I can eat broccoli on the side. I don't mind vegetables. One of my favorite places to eat is to take out food is Mooney's up in Corning. I love to get macaroni and cheese, and I love the lobster macaroni and cheese, and I do get the one with chicken and broccoli. Broccoli's fine. I don't mind broccoli in something or on the side. My wife could eat it and be a vegetarian. I have to have substance with it, but if I did this for 10 days and all I ate was vegetables and water, I would be much thinner. Daniel says, come back and check us out. And it says, if you look down, I think it's verse 15. I'm not looking at it. I think it's verse 15. It says, they were fatter of flesh, I think is what it says. Fatter of flesh and more healthy. That wouldn't have been me. There's not a vegetable other than, I'm not a big beet person. And one of my very first trips up to my mother-in-law's when Cheryl and I were dating, my mother-in-law set out these pickled beets, is that what they were? And I looked at them, I'm thinking, I've got to eat them. I'm here with my possible future in-laws, so I've got to eat. And I kind of held my breath and swallowed and got a drink of water and washed it down really quick. I can eat most vegetables. Brussels sprouts, little cabbages kind of explode in my mouth. I'm not real fond of them either. But vegetables I'm okay with, but I don't think I would look good after 10 days to say that was my only diet, was eating vegetables and water. But Daniel was committed. He said, test us and find out if we're not telling the truth. So we see that Daniel was a man of principle. If you look down at chapter 6, I do have this up here too. I guess I do have all the verses up here. Chapter 6 was it Belshazzar, I think his name was, the king. Belshazzar and Belshazzar. Let me look back at verse 6, or chapter 6. Or Darius, okay, when King Darius had signed. Chapter 5 is when Belshazzar was overthrown and the Babylonian empire came to an end. And immediately the Medes and Persians took over and Darius was the new king. And the people came into Darius and said, you're a great, great king. Why don't you issue a decree that nobody can worship any other god but you? The only reason they did that is because they were trying to trap Daniel. And look down at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house. We had the windows in his upper chamber open toward Israel. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. If that had just ended there, got down on his knees and gave thanks before God, we would say, is he just doing this to be a jerk? To get himself in trouble? But it says, as he had done previously. This is his practice. Day after day, Daniel did this. And as we read those stories, how easy would it have been for Daniel just to say, I'm going to eat the food that the king gave me. It's not going to hurt me. Nobody else is going to know. I'm here in the palace. My other fellow Jews aren't going to know it. I'm just going to eat it. It's probably much better tasting than lentils and onions and a glass of water. Daniel could have easily done that. How common would that compromise be in our world today? Even in our churches, we compromise. How few stand on their beliefs and their convictions when it's so easy to go along with the popular crowd and others' opinions. How tempting would it have been for Daniel just to obey the order and not worship God publicly, not worship Jehovah publicly. Lord, I'm still going to pray like I have done previously, but I'm just going to do it by my bed, kneeling on the floor. How tempting would it have been, maybe even how wise, from our point of view, would it have been for Daniel at least to close his windows and pull down the curtains? I'm going to pray, God. I'm still going to talk to you. I'm not going to worship Darius. I'm just going to worship you, but quietly here. I'm going to do it. Maybe even make a prayer closet. Lord, nobody else is going to see me, but I'm going to continue to worship you. Daniel hadn't done that before. He was doing everything that he had done previously. How refreshing, how rare that would be if Christians would do that today. If churches would do that today, they would stand against the political or popular opinion of the world and stand on the word of God. See, Daniel didn't listen to any other word other than the word of God. He didn't listen to what people were saying. He didn't listen to those people who were trying to entrap him and get him thrown into the lion's den, which eventually happened. I shared, mentioned last week, if you remember, the transgender praise team in the Methodist Church that wrote that song, "I Am Blanking Gay." And I thought, how easy would it have been for the pastor of that church just to stand up and say, stop. As they were singing this song, that I'm gay, as a worship song in a church, how easy would it have been for that pastor to get up and say, stop. We're not going to sing anything like this. That's derogatory. It's blasphemous. It's wrong. It's sinful. Now, he might have gotten fired on the spot, but someone needed to stand and no one did. If it had been Daniel, can you picture Daniel standing and listening to that song? Daniel would have said, man, this is wrong. We're not going to sing that, and we're going to throw you out of the church. We're going to throw that praise team into the lion's den. That's what Daniel would have thought. But we need to be men and women of principle. Number two, Daniel was a man of position. He's an amazing man. As we said, he was taken captive just as a teenage boy, but he ascends to one of the highest positions in the Babylonian kingdom. And the only reason he did that is because he never took credit for the things he did, but he always honored the Lord. Look down in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is when King Nebuchadnezzar had these dreams, and he makes this really ridiculous situation for his magicians and his interpreters and his astrologers. He has a dream, and then he calls all these people and says, tell me my dream and then tell me about it. What's it mean? And all of them said, there's not a man alive who can do that. There's not one person who's ever been even asked to do that. But Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, if you can't do it, all the astrologers are going to die. You're all going to be killed today. And as they went into the prison, intending to kill Daniel because he was part of that team that couldn't interpret the dreams, Daniel says, wait a minute, what's the king doing this for? Let me have an appointment with him. And he goes in, and immediately Daniel says, no one can interpret that, but there is a God who can. There is a God who can do this. And then he interprets the dreams and explains it all to Nebuchadnezzar. And then down in verses 46 and 48, it says this. It says, the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered to him. Then the king answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar said it. He didn't say, Daniel, you're a great man. You were able to interpret these dreams. He would have, if that had been me, and I had gone to the king and interpreted this dream, I probably wouldn't have said, I can do this dream. I can tell you this dream. And then I would have prayed to the Lord to reveal it to me. But I'm not sure I would have said to the king, let me pray to God first and seek his answer. Most of us would have probably taken credit for what we had just done. That would be natural. We had just interpreted the dreams, but Daniel from the start said, I can't do it. There's not a person around who can, but there is a God who can do that. We might have felt that we deserved the recognition. We might have felt that we deserved the position that he was elevating us to. And that's, unfortunately, what I hear about with so many pastors and servants of the Lord who take credit for God's working in their lives, and then they fail in their own lives morally or whatever, because they are not giving God the glory that he deserves. They're taking the role of God, and they fall in their own selfishness and their own sinfulness. Daniel is also a man, that's supposed to be a man of prayer. I think when I copied and pasted, I left the ER off. He's a man of prayer. This is one of the most amazing and striking things about Daniel's life, is that we don't see him making any decisions without consulting the Lord. We already looked at verse 10 in chapter 6 when his prayer life caused him to be arrested. But look here, this is when the dream again. This is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Look at this. When Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's companions, he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that, am I on the right one? Yeah. So that, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a dream and a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And then he went on, he said, blessed be the God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. Daniel didn't just pray himself, he went and got the other three to pray as well. And then I'm sure they had some other people who were praying. But he was talking to the Lord. He was saying, God, we're going to die, and it's not our fault, because he's telling us to interpret a dream that he's not even telling us a dream. So God, you are the revealer of dreams, and you're the revealer of mysteries. Please give me this answer today. And we see he was just a man of prayer. Now, we might have prayed in that situation knowing that our life was on the line, but Daniel made this a practice. Turn over to chapter 9. And this is Daniel's prayer for the nation. He says, then I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him in prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He wasn't just walking down the street saying, God, you know, I need your help here. Our nation's in turmoil. Our nation's facing all kinds of crisis. No, he not only got on his knees and prayed, he repented with seeking God with mercy and fasting and sackcloth. Sackcloth shows, when you wore sackcloth and ashes, that was just showing you were in dire need of something. And he was just broken before the Lord. In verse 4, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast mercy with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets. Here he is, he's just coming to the Lord and saying, I'm guilty, Lord. You have no reason to answer me. I'm a sinner. Our people are sinners. But God, I'm still coming to you. I'm still coming to you to beg and make confession and to ask you for direction. God, please answer. He's pleading to the Lord. In chapter 10, turn over to the next chapter. Chapter 10, beginning in verse 10. This is the vision from God. This entire chapter is this vision that was very disturbing as you read through it. But look at chapter 10. He's crying out to the Lord because he's scared by this vision. In verse 10 says, and behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He's in prayer because he's afraid of this vision. All of a sudden, he's touched by something. We would have been jumping too. This is a great mystery right here. This is a great horror story. He's just touched by a hand. In verse 11, he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand up right now, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you have set your heart," listen to this, "from the first day you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard." Your words have been heard. You haven't been answered yet. That's what we need to keep in mind. Daniel's prayer, he's been praying all along. It had been heard, but for some reason God hadn't answered. He had him waiting. And then he says at the end of this, it says, "And I have come because of your words." And then we see a great battle. If you haven't read this chapter yet, read it again. Many believe this is Michael the archangel. And he goes on, he says, "The prince of the kingdom of Persia has withstood me for 21 days. Here's the archangel Michael coming to answer Daniel's prayer and appear to Daniel, and Satan wouldn't let him. Satan kept Michael away. So we know that Satan was only below God. He was above all the angels. And he's preventing Michael the archangel from getting to Daniel. God allowed that to go on for some reason. I can't explain the purpose behind that other than he's just making Daniel wait. So when we don't get immediate answers to our prayer, realize the spiritual battle that's going on. We don't see it, but perhaps God is ready to answer your prayer and Satan is preventing it. And again, God could immediately just dealt with Satan right there. He could have touched Satan just like the angel touched Daniel on the shoulder and frightened him. God could have reached down and touched Satan and allowed Michael the archangel to go immediately the first day rather than waiting 3 weeks. But something happened and God had a purpose for that. But Daniel continued on in prayer. It doesn't say you prayed one time and I was on my way, but then you stopped praying. It doesn't say that. It says from the very first day, meaning there's many more days to follow. Daniel was a man of prayer. These are just examples of what Daniel did. Some of these verses, and we can learn some great lessons from his practice. I want you to see he confessed his sin to God. That's the first thing. He praised God. He made his requests. And then he pleaded for answers. He wasn't satisfied just to sit back and say, "God, I presented it to you. Now I'm leaving it up to you." No. Daniel came back time after time after time after time. Possibly the same prayer, possibly the same request, and saying, "God, you haven't answered yet, and I know you hear me, God, and Lord, I want to confess my sin." And that's what I always share with you. I pray through the word Acts, and not that you have to do it, but adoration first, and then confession. Before I get into anything else, I'm praising God, and then I'm confessing before the Lord, because I have so much to confess every day, and I'm sure you do too. And then we get into thanksgiving and supplication. So ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then prayer requests for other people. And that's what Daniel is doing. He's praising God. He's confessing his sin. He's saying, "God, I'm guilty. We're all guilty. And Lord, I need to get that confessed before you're going to answer me. But Lord, here I'm laying it on the table. Now, Lord, I'm just begging you, answer what I'm asking. Answer what I'm asking." A great man. Study his prayers. And then finally we see that Daniel was a man of prophecy. Daniel is described, and I think I have this in your note, yeah I do, as divided into two equal parts. First six chapters are history. The second six, 7 through 12, are prophecy. Chapters 1 through 6 put there primarily are history. Detailing Daniel's experience as a Jew in Babylon. So those first six chapters are kind of the life of Daniel. And then as you get in chapter 7 to 12, you see these apocalypse. We hear about the apocalypse and all that. Just the ending of the world, including the prophecies about future kingdoms and the end times. That's what Daniel is given in chapter 7 through 12. And we're going to look at probably a couple of them. At least that's the plan for next Sunday. I have started outlining it already. But read through this book. You could read through it in one day easily, but maybe start reading it in the morning, finish it up at night. But read through it at least 3 or 4 times this week so you can understand this book. This is a great, great book. And then look for the man, Daniel, as you read through it. I just gave you some examples of verses. There's many more of him being in prayer. There's many more of him sharing about his position. There's many more of him sharing prophecy. And look for his being a man of principle as you pray through this. But read through this book. This is a great, great book. And it's telling so much. And next week, I said, we want to look at least at this point, looking at the four world empires and then looking at the prophecy of the end times. And again, Daniel is full of all of that, and we can learn great lessons from him. Father, this morning, we just thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you, Lord, for the lessons from Daniel of being a man of prayer. And Lord, I would love to be known as that, and I know people probably wouldn't say that about me now. Ron was a great man of prayer. I pray that they would say that about me at the end of my life. But Lord, help my prayer life to be like Daniel's. Help me to seek your will and to not just pray once or twice about something, which I'm often guilty of, but Lord, to pray continually and Lord, to plead for you to answer. And I pray, Lord, that I would be humble like Daniel as well when I come to you in prayer, not seeking to elevate myself, not seeking to take credit for anything you do, but to always give the glory back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.